Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. If you have your Bible this morning, I invite you to turn to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6. We've been talking about a brave faith, but how we remain faithful and how we continue to have faith and be faithful to the things of God in a world that seems to be growing more and more hostile to the things of God. And so today we're wrapping that series up. We're in Daniel chapter 6. Title of this morning's message, Know Where the Power Is. It's important that we know where the power source is. Saturday last week we had some strong storms and tornadoes move through our area. Thankfully, this immediate area kind of got spared, but there was significant damage south and north of us. So lots and lots, thousands of people were without power. We all probably have been various times when our power's gone out, and that's no fun, is it? And so when it's dark, it is, when you go to a new place, you fumble around a little bit trying to find light switches and knobs so that there can be light. And Daniel reminds us it's important to know where the power is. And what we need to know is the power does not come from us. See, if we're depending on our own power, we're in trouble before we even begin. But Daniel understood what it was to trust in God and to live faithfully to God and do what God has told him to do. And so as we wrap up this series by looking at Daniel chapter 6, we remember that Daniel was faithful to what God had told him to do, and he was faithful to practice the things that he was supposed to practice, and we'll see that today, regardless of what the circumstances are. You see, if you're following God and you're a Christian, only when things are good, the reality is you're not following God. You're not really a Christian. You're not saved. There's no such thing as a part-time Christian. You're either fully saved or you're not saved at all. And that's just the reality. So let's take a look. Daniel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Remember last week as we wrapped up chapter 5, the king of Babylon dies. And the Medes and Persians are going to take over. Verse 1 of Daniel chapter 6 says, It pleased Darius, who was the king, to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these he set three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give an account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the other governors and satraps because of an excellent spirit that was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And so these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom and administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open to Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes a petition 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel to cast him before into the den of lions. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his slept went from him. The king arose very early in the morning and went in with haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they may not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. And so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they even came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What an amazing, incredible account of God's faithfulness and how God showed up to redeem his people. It reminds us that God is always faithful. There are several things about this incident that I think are important for us to remember, especially as we think and remember our world today is not much different than Daniel's world. We have a lot of new conveniences and technology, but people are still people. And we are still battling with the very same temptations and failings that they were thousands and thousands of years ago, because we've not learned our lesson. The reality of sin and depravity is still wreaking havoc on this world. And so a few important things that I want us to remember as we think about this and how Daniel, we can take an important reminder from him And the first thing that I want you to see is this, that the world is set against God and His people. When sin entered the world, the fellowship that was between this created order and God was broken. And now the things of this world were set against God. And so it shouldn't surprise us when heathen people don't like God and don't like God's people. And they're trying to thwart the things of God. Now, it's not just gods in general that people have a problem with and they're fighting against. It's the one true God. It's the God of the Bible. It's Jesus Christ, His Son. And, people that, why? Because the God of the Bible makes some demands on people. You know, if we worship false gods, if we worship gods we can make with our hands, we can control them. But you can't control God. And that's the reality. And so this world is and will always be until God comes back and ultimately defeats Satan and this world is remade into a new heaven and a new earth, will always, there'll be enmity or there'll be war. There'll be discord between the people of God and the people of this world. Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:12, he says, "We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." In other words, it's not just a physical battle that we're fighting. It's much more devious than that. It's oftentimes an unseen battle. Between good and evil, right and wrong, and we all know that as you're trying to do what's right, we all know we've had times when we've committed something to the Lord, and we have sincerely meant that, and when we've made that decision, doesn't it seem like everything comes against us? Well, it does, because when you were out serving Satan, and you were doing things that God didn't want you to do. You were doing what Satan wanted. Satan didn't have to worry about you. But when you stopped doing that, and you started turning your heart and your attention toward the things of God, the old devil doesn't like that. And he wants to do everything he can to knock you off course. But not only that, also this world is set in one direction that's going contrary to God. And if you're trying to go toward God, you're going against the stream. You're going against the flow, in other words. You're being countercultural. You're being different. And by the way, a reminder that God's people are supposed to be different than the people of this world. Daniel lived a life of integrity. These other leaders knew that they couldn't find anything to accuse Daniel of, so they had to make up a new rule to trap Daniel. And it's interesting, they had watched Daniel, and they knew of his integrity, and they also knew of his faithful practices of praying and doing other things, observing spiritual disciplines, that they knew that they could make this decree, and then they knew exactly when to go and watch outside of his house, and that they would find him praying. It's like, you know what, this world knows that, hey, listen, Sunday morning, between 10 or so and noon, Christians are supposed to be in church. When, it used to be, and Wednesday night we had prayer meeting. It used to be that, kids didn't get homework on Wednesday night. There were certainly no ball games on Wednesday night. Can I tell you, those days are long gone. And we shouldn't be surprised. But that doesn't mean that we just throw our hands up and say, well, we got to go with the flow, preacher. It's just whatever's going to be, we can't do anything about it. It's just... Yeah, we can. We are to remain faithful to God and His ways, regardless of what anyone else is doing. I'm quite certain that you kind of read between the lines, but Daniel was not at the meeting where these yo-yos decided to come up with this crazy law. Darius knew of Daniel. Daniel is an old man by now. And we've seen him time and time again through at least three kings of Babylon raised to a place of prominence. And he found favor with Darius. Darius knew who he was and knew what kind of man he was. And in fact, there was such respect of Darius of Daniel that he considered to make him number two over the entire kingdom. Well, guess what? The other two leaders and the 120 satrap didn't like that one bit. And so they didn't say, listen, and notice how they referred to Daniel. They didn't refer to him as one of the senior leaders. They referred to Daniel as one of those Jews that you brought from captivity, trying to cast dispersion on Daniel and his character. And they tricked the king into making this goofy law, and then they hatched their plan, and it went exactly as they thought it would go. But the end did not go like they thought that it was going to go, because they left out of the equation God. And you know what? This world does the same thing. In our world, listen, yeah, those that want to count God out, and those that are trying to defeat God, leave God out of the equation, and guess what? People and mankind has been trying to defeat God and His work for eons. Guess what? They're all dead. God's still alive. God will not be defeated. And we have the end of the book. We know how the story ultimately is going to end. That God does ultimately defeat Satan and the curse of sin, and things are ultimately be restored to the way that they are supposed to be. But make no mistake, this world is sin against God and His people, but that is not an excuse for you to not be faithful to what God has told you to do. We are to be faithful to the things of God. And Daniel reminds us that when we're faithful, that God will look out for us. Now, it may not always be that God protects us from death. There have been over history many martyrs for the Christian faith. There have been many men and women who have lost their lives for the cause of Christ, that God didn't stop them from being killed. Were they not faithful? Did they not believe God like that? No, they were faithful. God just had a different means to bring their victory. Because the reality is, when a Christian's life here on earth ends, their life in eternity, where it really matters, begins. It doesn't end. And so something else, the second thing that we need to remember, in fact, we always need to remember that others are watching you. See, Daniel, throughout his entire life, he was a praying man. He fasted regularly. He prayed. He served others. He did acts of compassion and charity. And people knew that. Now, Daniel was not sinless, because there's only been one sinless man that's ever walked the face of this earth, and his name was Jesus. But Daniel was a man of integrity. And that is what all of us should seek to be. Daniel was the same regardless of what the circumstances was. It was his practice to pray three times a day. Guess what? When the king said, "Don't pray for 30 days except to me," guess what Daniel did? He continued to pray three times a day. It didn't alter his behavior. So understand this, that there are people watching you, and I think sometimes there are those that will watch you to try to judge you or to condemn you, to find some way or something in which you trip up and fail so they can, defame the name of Christ that lives within you. But understand this, that as you're faithful to live out the Christian life before them, and you continue to read your Bible and pray and go to church and be kind and be charitable to others, when you continue to do that, even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of failure, that speaks very loudly to those outside of the community of faith. I don't think Darius was a God-fearing man. He certainly did not worship God Jehovah. But he certainly knew who God Jehovah was. How do you think he did that? I can guarantee you it wasn't from the staunch, wonderful witness and testimony of the other Jews that were in his kingdom. Because they were just being... It was because Daniel was living a life of integrity. He knew who God was, and he knew about Israel's God because he had seen that God in Daniel's life. And so, as he made this decree, he tries all day to find a loophole or some way that he can undo what's been done. And when he can't, he says to Daniel, "Your God just might deliver you." Remember, this same God had rescued three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There you go. I did that on purpose to test you to see if you could. Don't y'all hate that when names don't come to your mind? I guess it means I'm getting old. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been delivered. Now, this had been several years later, but don't you believe that had gotten around? And even Darius had heard that story years and years later. And he knew the kind of person that Daniel was. He knew that he had seen that witness. And when people see you, even as you're going through a personal time of difficulty, and yet they see you getting in your car and going to church, and people see you giving and helping others, even when maybe you don't have to share, but you still do. Can I tell you, that speaks loudly. And people see that. So it speaks to those that are contrary to God and trying to stop the work of God, but it also stops the agnostics, those unbelievers, those that maybe even are on the fence, maybe those that are lukewarmish in their faith. It's witnessing to them as well. So the reminder is, people are watching you. They may not go to church, they may not be living for God, but they know you're a Christian and they're watching you. They may have never even read the Bible, but they think they know what a Christian is supposed to be like and do. And you rest assured they're watching you to see if you do. So remember, others are watching you, just like these men knew. All these other, they knew that Daniel was going to pray regardless of what anybody said. They knew he was going to be faithful. They didn't just discover that overnight. they'd watched and worked with Daniel. And they were jealous, and they wanted to undo him, but at the same time, they were watching, and they knew that he was a man of integrity. And other people said, we can't find anything to charge him with. So let's make something up. And they did. And Daniel knew and understood what the king's decree was. Didn't change the fact when it's time to pray, Daniel went and he prayed, just like he always did. So remember, others are watching you. Your grandchildren, your children, your nieces and nephews, your neighbors, your other family members are watching you. Your coworkers are watching you. Make no mistake about that. And what they need to see from you is not a perfect, sinless person, because you're not. But what they do need to see when they look at you is a man or a woman of integrity. A man or a woman that walks the talk. Not just saying that you're a believer, but that you really do live it out. And so that wraps us up with this last point. You know, people are watching. And so what do you do about that? Let your light shine brightly. You be faithful to do the things that God has told you to do. One of those things, by the way, is go to church. The book of Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Because that's the practice of the heathen. He said, don't be like the heathen. Don't do that. You get together. Paul says to the Thessalonian church, pray without ceasing. The Bible instructs us to, you know, care for others, to pray for others, to help others, to serve others. Jesus said, you're a light. He said the light of Christ dwells in you. Jesus told parable. He said, listen, you don't take a light, a flashlight, and put it under a basket. No. You let that thing in the open that it gives light to everyone in the room. Daniel, remember, as Daniel began, Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. In other words, he made a determination early on in his life that he was going to live a life of integrity, that he was going to serve God, regardless of what circumstances were. And regardless of what anyone else was doing, and as we come to the end of the story, guess what? As Daniel's an old man, he was a young boy then, he's now an old man, guess what he's still doing? Purpose in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. He let that light shine brightly. And so guess what it did? I don't know that Darius ever became a sincere believer in God. But he did know there was something different about this God that Daniel served. And he made this decree, and we read about in the last few verses of this chapter, nobody better say anything bad about Daniel's God. And know that this is the God whose kingdom lasts forever. This is a man, he understood, just like the Babylonian kingdom that he had just conquered didn't last forever, he understood his kingdom wasn't going to last forever either. But he understood there was one king who would never be usurped and would never lose his throne and would be there. How did he know that? Because he had seen Daniel's life. And in a bit of poetic justice, by the way, those that plotted against Daniel and came up, they are the ones that were thrown into the lion's den. Guess what? Those quiet lions that just purred and maybe even kissed Daniel's cheek and, you know, cozied up to him. It says that those lions that weren't so hungry just a little bit earlier got mighty hungry. And in fact, the bones of those folks that they were eaten, that they were killed before they even hit the bottom of the den. A reminder, by the way, and this is a free point, it's not even on the slides, that sin not only affects you, but it will affect others as well. Those leaders' wives and their children were put in the lion's den, not because of choices they had made, but because of the choice their husband or their father had made. So remember that. That's another sermon for another day. That's just free. But know where your power is. No, it doesn't come from you. And be connected to that power source, that light might always shine brightly inside of you. Because friends, not only do you need that light, there are others all around you that desperately need the light of Christ. Listen, we live in a crazy, crazy world. And it's getting crazier every day. And yet God is faithful. And God remains on his throne. He won't be knocked off of it. So we need to continue to be faithful. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, thank you that you are a God that never leaves us and never forsakes us. So Lord, we pray that you'd help us to live a life of integrity. That we would always do what was right. And that we would be faithful to you. Help us in that, we pray. Forgive us when we fail. Lord, help our light to shine brightly. Help us to remember the power is not in us. The power is not us, but it is you. And it's Christ living in us. And the Holy Spirit activating, working through us and in us to help us be what you created us to be. Lord, we love you. Help us be your hands and feet, we pray in Jesus' name. Friend, let's stand together. We're going to sing that hymn, Kneel at the Cross Again. That, by the way, is how we find the strength, is at the cross. And by knee, strength is found not in standing, but in kneeling, recognizing it's not us, it's Christ. It's God working in us. Let's sing together.